This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
First world problems. I'm realizing now that you got to stay up to like past midnight to right when they release the delivery times for grocery stores to be able to snag a delivery time that might be like 2 days away. I'm telling you, man, like I really felt some kind of way when I came to that realization, and I didn't really calm down until I wrote it down.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Somebody pray for him. Because you looking like pray for him. Yeah. I preach life to my niggas. Try to show them right so I don't write to my niggas. Blinded by ambition, this shit is sight to my niggas. Aside from Lisa Bonet, you ain't seen you a brighter nigga. So smart, it's all the white folks, they study me. They scared I'm pro-black, so they trying to buddy-buddy me. My playback is payback for those who in front of me. Telling Father Time, it ain't no son of me. Wanted me to switch like a picture.
Yeah, I know that's not the line that I should be focusing on, but that joint, aside from Lisa Bonet, you ain't seen a brighter nigga. That's one of the best punchlines I've heard in a while. Go ahead, run it back. I'll wait. Yeah, I would play it again, but I'm already skating on thin ice with the copyright stuff. So, but yeah, nah, I love that line. I think that's super dope. It works on so many uncomfortable levels. You know, and if you haven't noticed by now, I kind of like creating a little discomfort from time to time. I feel like that's when the truth comes out, when people are uncomfortable. Alright, anyway, welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I thank you again for joining me, spending some time with me during these troubling times, strange times. I think this is all unprecedented territory for all of us, and I'm hoping to, you know, just give you a little bit of a break from everything that's going on in the world right now. Let's just discuss some other shit. We're gonna keep it to the other shit. So yeah, I want to start this episode by I guess I will talk about it a little bit, sort of, kind of. Podchaser.com has started the Reviews for Good campaign. So basically, they're going to be donating 25 cents to the Meals on Wheels America COVID-19 Response Fund for every review that you leave on Podchaser. So you can review the podcast as a whole, or you can review individual episodes. Any review that you leave from now until April 16th, I believe, they're going to donate 25 cents to the Meals on Wheels COVID-19 Response Fund. And even doper than that, they will double the donation if I respond. And I respond to everything. So I'm telling you right now, if you drop me a review, I guarantee you I'm going to respond. Depending on how many reviews come through, I may even, read them out loud on the next episode and respond to you that way. But I'll definitely respond to you on Podchaser because we got to double them donations. But I felt like that was a really dope thing for them to do. Is an opportunity, you know, for all of us to be able to contribute a little bit, even if you don't have. I know a lot of us are struggling. A lot of us have some financial uncertainty with the situation. And here's a way you can donate, you know, really for free. You can contribute for free. You know, don't cost you anything, but a little bit of time, you know. So, yeah, hit up podchaser.com. Check out the What Is TWS podcast. Leave a review. I will definitely respond to the review. Find some other shows, leave some reviews on those shows. Just Say Words is one of my favorites. Zofew podcast. Hashtag Blackout. There's a lot of dope shows out there to check out. Review them all. $0.25 a review. And if you get a response, the donation gets double. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up because I thought that was especially dope. All right, next, I got a couple birthdays that I want to shout out. I'm going to start out with Ad 2, the MC you heard in the intro. I've become a huge fan of his music over the past few months, and he celebrated a birthday this week. So happy belated birthday to you, Ad 2. I've talked about it on the show. Jim Crow the Musical was an insanely dope album. And that prompted me to go back and listen, you know, to music of his that I had heard before, but I didn't pay enough attention to it to realize just how amazingly talented this dude was. And then now I'm following him on Twitter and I'm realizing that, you know, not only is he, you know, a top tier MC, amazingly talented dude, but he's just a good dude in general. And those are the situations I love. Like when you can find an artist whose music you like, that you actually like as a person. I struggled with Joe Budden for a minute after that Love and Hip Hop thing, because I stopped liking him as an individual, and it took away from like my ability to appreciate his music. But I don't have that problem with Attitude. Definitely dope. I think he's a good dude in general. So now, you know, in addition to me working towards getting a spot on Hot Ones, I'm also working on getting Attitude on the show. I shot my shot earlier this week to let him know I was trying to get him on the show. Y'all could put pressure on him or something. But anyway, I'm working toward it. We're going to get there. I'm going to get this podcast dope enough to attract folks like the artists I enjoy listening to. But happy belated to Ad 2. Another special shout out to my uncle Edward. Also celebrated a birthday this week. Unc turned 85. Man, so that's super dope. If you heard my episode, Stay Grateful. I don't remember what number it is, but it's a few episodes back. Got a picture of my sister and I's babies for the cover art. But if you listen to that episode, you see how important my uncle's were to me in my life. And so, yeah, it's, you know, I definitely want to shout out my aunt for making it to 85. And I just tell him, you know, it was great talking to you the other day. I hadn't spoken to you or, you know, and hadn't heard your voice. And I know you hadn't heard mine in quite some time. And so, you know, it really felt good to get to speak to you the other day. I'm glad to have you around. I'm appreciative that I still have you in my life. And I know the situation back home is kind of rough right now. You're quarantined and by yourself. But hang in there, Unc. You know, you got this. I love you. All right. Before I move on, I got a quick random thought. This just popped in my head. And so it's my show, so I can say what I want when it pops in my head. Have you noticed, because I think it's kind of cool how, like, Will Smith never became William. Did that resonate with anybody else? Like, you know how it was Larry Fishburne, and then, like, after a certain movie, I don't know if it was Boys in the Hood, or after a certain, like, level of fame, he became Lawrence. Like, out of nowhere, just one day he became Lawrence Fishburne. Will Smith never did that. I don't know if William Smith would have hit the same way, but I'm going to attribute it to just being dope. I don't know. That just dawned on me. I wanted to share it. I'm random that way. Back to my uncle, though. Back to my uncle and my family. My mom, who just turned 71, she sent me a text the other day that she sent to her sister, my aunt, who'll be 91 later this year. She sent me the text because she wanted to make sure that the text was appropriate, that it was funny, and that it wasn't insensitive or didn't go too far. And I thought that was kind of dope. Maybe, I guess, my family respects my sense of humor or something like that. Or and maybe they also know I tend to try to push boundaries, and but I'm aware of the limits. But yeah, she sent me the text, and to kind of make sure, you know, she didn't offend anybody or that I didn't see it as offensive. So I wanted to read it to you guys because it drove home an important point for me. Anyway, this was the text. It basically said, government notice: to help save the economy, the government will announce next month that the Immigration Department will start deporting seniors instead of illegals in order to lower Social Security and Medicare costs. Older people are easier to catch and will not remember how to get back home. So be sure to send this notice to your relatives and friends so they'll know what happened to you. I started to cry when I thought of you, but then it dawned on me, I'll see you on the bus. And yeah, to me, I did think that was funny. I thought that was very funny, but it was only funny if it's my mother sending it to my aunt. It's only funny if it's a 71-year-old sending it to a 91-year-old, or vice versa. It's only funny between seniors. Like, I think that's why they had to add that line at the end. It was like, you know, I'll see you on the bus. Because I think every group has jokes and things that would be offensive if they came from outside the group. But when you're delivering the joke and the person that may be the butt of the joke knows that it could apply to you as well, then somehow it's cool. You know, sometimes, you know, that lessens the blow. That makes it all in fun and not just a, you know, not just a dig, not just a derogatory statement. I think the application for this concept is pretty obvious, so I'm not going to go any further into that. But I just wanted to share that with y'all. Food for thought. But all of this really takes me into what I really want to talk about this episode. And I'm going to try to... I wrote a lot of this down. I'm probably going to go off script because this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart that hits very close to home. And really made me feel a certain kind of way this week, which is why I wanted to talk about it on the show. But little backstory. I'm a big fan of Nori. Big fan of Nori, and the Drink Champs podcast was one of the first podcasts I got into and really made me, you know, want to pursue this. Really made me want to take the conversations that I used to have with my friends, make a podcast out of them, because I thought they'd be interesting conversations for people to listen to. And that's what I thought Drink Champs was. You know, Nori was an artist. He'd have other artists on there. You know, the alcohol would be flowing. It's an informal setting. It's just a conversation amongst friends. You know, maybe inhibitions, you know, go away. And you got to hear like these real what seemed to be genuine conversations between people just having fun and celebrating one another. So I was a big fan of the show. I don't know. So, you know, you see people on there, they let their guards down. It's really an interesting show to me. And I've seen a lot of artists on there, and I've seen artists, you know, have one too many, or, you know, go a little further than I think maybe they expected to go. And sometimes it gets cringeworthy to me. Sometimes I get embarrassed for people. But for the most part, the show to me is dope. And I've enjoyed it. And I look for when I see like episodes where it's, you know, somebody that I like or somebody that I'm interested in hearing from, or somebody maybe I've never heard from before. And I'm always eager to click on those episodes so I can see what's going on. So the other day, I saw that they had Lamar Odom on the show. So I've never really heard from Lamar like in a face-to-face interview. I thought this was going to be an interesting, interesting environment for him to do that in. So I'm like, all right, bet. I'm gonna check this out. I want to see Lamar Odom on Drink Champs. Now, I'm going to start by saying, you know, I don't know what Lamar Odom's situation is. I can't say he has a problem because I don't know that. That's not for me to decide. I don't know if he thinks he has a problem or if anybody in his camp thinks he has a problem, or anybody in Nori's camp thinks he has a problem. I don't know any of this. I think, you know, we all know the situation that Lamar ended up in a few years ago, and we all know that the reason that he's not in the league was not necessarily like his talent falling off for natural causes or something. I don't know, like, We know kind of why Lamar isn't where he used to be. Sorry, my pop filter just like dropped in my face. It's crazy. It's real life stuff. Give me a second. I don't know if I'm gonna edit this out or not. Probably not. All right. No pop filter. Anyway. So, I started watching the episode. And I initially was, you know, I was pretty surprised when they offered him a drink. And I was even more surprised that he accepted it. And then it got weirder to me because they kept going, you know. They offered him more drinks and shots and the infamous Tiger Bone. And I think going from champagne to cognac to whatever, man. It was getting crazy. And this is all, like, typical for the show. This is all par for the course. But in my mind, like, this was Lamar Odom, though. Like, this was different. I kept watching, and I was only like 20 minutes or so in, and then it felt like things were like already going off the rails. Again, not atypical for the show. Happens a lot. But for some reason, this was hitting me a lot different. And I started to notice that. I started to notice that Lamar was initiating the shots. He was asking for the shots. He was prompting, you know, let's do another one. Started asking, where we going after this? You know, I could already tell, you know, that speech had changed. The way he was responding to questions, you know, how coherent or incoherent he was had already changed. And then I could see that switch get flipped in his head where he was, you know, we beyond the situation. Like, in his mind, he's beyond this, you know, the right now. He's thinking about the next one and the one after that. And then where we going tonight and how I'm going to continue this. We got to keep this vibe going. I got to make sure, you know, it ain't going to stop. Because I'm 0 to 100. I'm already at 100. Let's keep going. At least that's the way I interpreted it. As somebody who feels like I've been in that situation, who feels like I struggle with these things. Like, to me, I saw that switch flip. And I don't know, man. I got scared for him. I got embarrassed for him. I got, I was hurt. And then I got angry. And I had to stop the episode. I actually turned the episode off. I played a little bit more of it the next day because I saw something where Nori was explaining, like, you know, what happened during the interview. I thought the outrage may have been, you know, Lamar and the substances and the encouragement and all of that. But, I think, you know, what Nori was addressing was a situation later on in the interview where Lamar seemed to feel disrespected by a question about his championship ring. And that's, you know, that seemed to be what they were addressing in the interview. And that wasn't what bothered me, you know. To me, the interview was getting tense way before then. I felt tense. I felt a certain kind of way before. I never made it that far into the interview before it made me feel a certain kind of way. And so I just really wanted to share my two cents about what happened. Because I've seen posts, I've seen comments, I've seen people go back and forth about the episode and who's to blame and, you know, was it cool, was it not cool? I've seen a lot. So I just wanted to chime in and share my two cents because I feel like I may have a relevant perspective when it comes to things like this. So, and this is, I'm going off the script. We'll see how long that lasts. So yes, all right. Lamar Odom is a grown man. Absolutely. He knew the show that he was going on. He knew what they do. Yeah. And he chose to be there. Absolutely. These are indisputable facts, right? I also know that Drink Champs has had guests in recovery, or guests that don't necessarily drink, or guests, you know, whose lifestyle is a little bit different than the show. And I know that the show can go on and proceed, and they can have interviews without the focus of the drinking. That Drink Champs does not require that in order for it to be good or entertaining. I know this. I've seen him do it. I remember Royce da 5'9", I think, has been on Drink Champs twice, and he's got about 8 years right now. And each time he's been on the show, I don't even think they've had liquor on the table. And it didn't, and when they made that decision to do that, it didn't strike me as something that Royce probably asked for, because I've seen interviews of his in the past where he's expressed that when people go out of their way to like not do what they would normally do, or to hide the bottles or put the bottles away, like that brings more attention to the subject than if you were to just go on, you know, doing what it is that you do, and I get to choose whether or not to partake or not, because this is, you know, your sobriety, right? So it, to me, it didn't feel like something Royce probably asked for. It felt like something that that maybe they decided to do just because they knew the situation. And then I'm also going to say, now, knowing how I would have handled something like this when, you know, when I was at my heavy, like, usage point, I would have said whatever it took to make people comfortable with the situation, with having me around and proceeding as normal, because I knew what I wanted to do. So if I had to convince people that, nah, I'm good, you know, it's no issue, I don't have that, like, nah, it was just some random stuff that went on, that was a different time, you know, I'm good, whatever, I would have made sure I didn't bring nobody with me that I thought was going to judge me or stop me, give me the evil eyes and stuff like that. I would have tried to set the stage to allow me to do what I knew I came there to do. And so there was a part of me that was like, man, wasn't nobody in his camp like, yo, this ain't a good look, or this ain't going the right way, or maybe we need to protect our man from, you know, from where he might go. And then it dawned on me that, yeah, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't have brought those people. You know, if I had people around me that I knew would stop me from doing certain things, that then they wouldn't have been invited. But then I wonder about, like, the Drink Champs camp. Like, was there nobody in there? I feel like all of us at this point have had some exposure to a person struggling with some of these issues. And it's, to me, that just made it difficult to watch. And I have a hard time accepting the fact that there was nobody in that room watching that. It was like, man, this might not be a good idea. This might not be a good thing. Like, to me, I'm going to tell you how I felt about it. To me, it was like watching, you know, some people snatch the crutches from a cripple and then film him stumbling around laughing. Like, that's how I felt. And that may be an oversimplification or an exaggeration, but that's how it felt to me. It felt like they put a person in a bad situation and then just watched them fuck up. You know, watched them go. And it really hurt me. I can't see the entertainment in that. I can't see how, I can't see how we should be at a place where that's fun to watch. And I get it. He's a grown man. You know, he made his own decisions. He went there willingly. Nobody had a gun in his head. Nobody poured the drinks down his, you know, down his throat. None of that. He did it all on his own. But, you know, it feels to me like a lack of understanding of what the issue is, or what it's like for people. And then at a certain point, it just, I don't know, man. I feel like this episode had to pass through so many hands and had to go through so many people in order to just make it to the air. And at no point did nobody else watching this feeling the way I was feeling. Like, maybe I need to go back and watch it. Maybe at some point they addressed it, you know, and maybe some point they, you know, delivered a message about what was going on. I don't think that happened, but maybe that would have justified it. But otherwise, to me, it just looked like we was taking advantage of dude. And I'm not saying it's anybody else's responsibility to take care of him, but I mean, like to me, I got friends, right? I got friends that if the situation had been reversed, like, if I got friends that if they tuned in to something and saw me acting the way Lamar was acting on that show, one, you know, now we beefing because they upset with me for walking into that situation with. They upset with me for keeping them away. They upset with me for making those choices and those mistakes again. And then two, they now go on to look for whoever had anything to do with it. Anybody that was in that room, who offered me a drink, who laughed, you know, when I was fucking up. Anybody who was profiting off of it. They got beef with all them people because they don't appreciate that. And they were around for the damage that can be caused. They were around. They know what the stakes are. And for anybody to take it lightly, they would take that personally. Just as my friends, not as people who in the recovery community, but just as people who care about me and don't want to see me end up back in certain places that I was in. And that's how I felt like watching this. Like I come on this show, I make it personal. I get away from the situation with Nori and Lamar, because I don't really know what happened. I don't know if he left and everything's fine, if this, you know, triggered him to go on something bigger, because that's what I saw. I saw that gleam in his eye, and I had that gleam before, and it was like, yeah, I'm back, like, let's go, like, I remember this. Where are we going to for breakfast? Like, he was asking where they going to that night, but, you know, to try to make it personal, I come on this show and I talk about like my issues with substances and with alcohol and stuff. And I do it partly to expand what I call my circle of accountability. Like if I tell all of you that I have an issue with this and that these are the things that have happened to me because of it, and this is the stuff that could happen to me again, you know, if I ever was to forget how serious an issue this is for me, there's a part of me that hopes that if someday, even if you weren't around for the bullshit, if even if you weren't around for the craziness and the worst, that you heard this story, and if for some reason we was out somewhere and you realized that's me and you saw me getting ready to take a drink, you might at least be like, hey, bro, what the fuck? Like, really? Come on, dog. Like, you might at least try to talk. You can't smack the drink out of my hand or stop me from drinking. If I'm determined to do it, I'm going to do it. But I would think, I would hope that because some of you have heard, you know, my story, because some of you have seen what's happened, that there might be some people out there that try to hold me accountable. If you see me out there making a mistake, if you see me out there fucking up, if you see me out there getting ready to throw everything away again. And that's what bothered me about this whole thing, is that not only did I see somebody who I haven't lost as much as it appears Lamar Odom lost. And you know, I wasn't in a coma and all that stuff like that. That stuff didn't happen to me. And these are the things we know of that happened to him. We don't know all the other stories that only his family knows. Maybe his ex-wife knows. We know that very public issue, you know, and I haven't lost all of those things, but I would still hope that, like, that you guys have heard enough of my story and what I deal with, that people wouldn't participate in me possibly risking going back. Try to profit from it. And again, I may be taking it too far. I may be taking it to the extreme and seeing more than it's there. But that's, man, that is how I felt watching that episode. And that's why I had to turn it off. I ain't going to front like I'm not going to ever watch Drink Champs again. I absolutely, absolutely will. I enjoy the show. I love the show. But I'm disappointed. And I do have questions. And I do hope to eventually get, maybe some answers and maybe understand the thought process and maybe understand, at least hope that people weren't looking at it the way I was looking at it when they decided to make these moves and encourage this behavior. But at the end of the day, the man is a grown man, and it's not necessarily your responsibility to be your brother's keeper, but at the same time, you know, you ain't got to trip him up either. You know? You don't always got to help him. Don't hurt him. All right, so you can call me crazy if you want. I'm used to it. As a matter of fact, if you think that this was all crazy and I'm looking at it the complete wrong way, bet. Leave me a review on podchaser.com. I will respond to it. We'll get that double donation and we can have a nice conversation on all this. It would be super dope. So hit up Podchaser right now, right after you finish listening to this episode. But with all that said, I hope we didn't get too far off the rails. I hope it was at least food for thought. I couldn't really be funny or make a whole lot of jokes about this. But maybe it's food for thought. Maybe we can open a discussion and have a talk. But you know, until we speak again, you know, as always, I want you to be safe, be the light. And before, I had almost picked another song for the rock out tonight, but I think this one is appropriate. Celebrate the life and music of Bill Withers. We lost a legend. So yeah, let's rock out. Love y'all.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be